Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
We just choir minister to our souls today. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sometimes you just got to follow the Spirit. All the time you should follow the Spirit. And I'm going to do what the Spirit is telling me to do. The word this morning is this. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Very briefly, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. As I echo what Reverend Dearborn will always say, if that didn't minister to you, then your wood is very wet if you can't feel that fire. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 13. Woo! Commencing at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants at my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I want to talk about when life brings a change. As we still under the titled The Concept of Change. Thank you, Urshas. When life brings a change. This message is not only for our youth, but it's for each and every one of us. If you would be honest with yourself, you haven't always shouted like this on Sunday mornings. But life brought a change. When somebody would sing that he's a doctor, sometimes he wouldn't even move you. But when you were on your bed of affliction, and God brought you through it, and then when you hear he's a doctor, you'd be the first one up shouting, because life have just brought a change. How many can testify and say, preacher, the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way. As we look at the 15th chapter of Luke, many have said that it is three parables, but it is not three parables. It is one parable in three sections. One section talks about the lost corn. One section talks about the lost sheep. And the third, which is in our reading, talks about the lost son. The parable in three sections and or in three parts that is before us, Jesus teaches us how important it is and how much it means to him to reach that which is lost. And my brothers and sisters, that's our primary goal, is deliver a word to somebody and tell them that God loves them. We have to quit being so critical of the lost. I told them Wednesday night, we have to be very careful how we look down at the brother at the liquor store asking for change as you enter and exit and you shake your head. He might make it to heaven before you. Just because you come to church don't mean that you're saved. If you stand in the garage, it don't make you a car. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God that raised him from the dead, then shall ye be saved. So the overall theme of chapter 15 of Luke is the retrieving that which is lost. And so the parable that's in our hearing, the third part of this parable, is the parable of the lost son. Write this down. The first thing we have is the home of the son. If you look at verse 11 and 12, a certain man had two sons. It's not excluding the mother on purpose. It is showing the relationship between a father and his children. And I'm so glad that I have a good father. Aren't you glad you've got a good father, which is in heaven? And you see, you can't put God up for child support because he takes care of his children. He clothes us when we're naked. He feeds us when we're hungry. He comforted us when we need to be comforted. And he whoops us when we get out of line. Father, in verse 11, had two sons. And if you look at the home of the son, the Lord begins to put a background on this canvas. I see a lovely home. It's a home that is filled with creature comforts. It's a home filled with a loving father, a caring father, a parent that's looking after the home. It's a home that's a certain man. This man, he was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. He was a godly man. He was a good father, and he had two sons. Let me say it again. He was a great father, good father, supplied, took care of his kids, but he had two sons with two personalities. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. We may have the same father, but we have different personalities. We have the same father, but we do things differently. One may cuss you out when the other may bless you. But we still have the same Father. One is strong and the other is weak, but we still have the same Father. And in this parable, the home was good. Tell everybody the home is good. Tell the neighbor the home is good. It's good because I got a good Father. He takes care of me. So everything, the relationship with his sons were good, and he supplied for his sons. He took care of his sons. But one day, the younger boy, he decides that being home is boring. Although I'm well supplied and Father takes care of me, but then, young people, that was an allure. That was calling him. He believed that I'm on good grass, but the grass is just a little greener on the other side. Everything's good. Daddy been taking care of me, but I believe I've been missing out. Young people, that's what that Satan wants you to believe, that no matter how good your parents are, he wants you to believe you've been missing out. I'm talking from experience. I'm a product of a single parent home. My mama was good to me. She played a dual role, mama and daddy. But I believe that I was missing out. And when I got my first job, 16 years old at Clark Dunbar, man, back in those days, in the 80s, you getting $300 a week, that was some money. Especially when you didn't have bills. My mom, she told me, I shared this with them at Bible study. She told me, she said, watch this, young people. She said, now you got to give God what belongs to him. In my mind, I didn't tell her, but in my mind, I said, I ain't giving God nothing. I worked for this. Tell the truth. Y'all looking at me like that. Some of you feel that way now and grown. So what I did, Rem Kirk, I put the hundreds in my wallet and I put a 10 in my right pocket. And I had the mindset to say, if God don't want this, he ain't got to take it. I was young, I was stupid, ignorant. Got to church and went around the offering and threw my $10 in the bucket, and I thought I was doing something. But when I got home, when I opened up my wallet, I had 200s in a $10 bill. So I didn't take the 10 out, I took 100 out. And I told mama, you need to call Reverend Freeman. Mama said, oh, baby, either you give it to him or he's going to take it. I learned my lesson, young people. I learned my lesson, how good I had it at home. But the world, I don't know if the streets were calling him, but he realized that I can't go out there broke. Look at the text. Watch this right there. In verse 12, the younger son said to his father, he says, give me the portions of goods that fall to me. I know when you die, I'm going to have an inheritance. But look like God is keeping you around here longer than I expected. So you just give me what you got set for me now. And the father, you look at the text, did not argue with him. He gave him what he asked for. Can I tell you something? Be careful what you ask God for. Because if you ask him with the wrong motives, he just might give you what you're asking for. Can I help you? Can I take you to Sunday school for a minute? Don't ever stand up in God's presence and ask God to be fair with you.
Because if God were to be fair with you, sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. But since God is not fair, God is just. And since in the justification I have grace and mercy, you just heard the choir thank you. You come this far not by your own will, not by your own way. You are here by the grace of God. So we saw the home of the Son. Then secondly, write this down. Let's look at the hurry of the Son. As soon as he got his portions, he began to pack his bags. And verse 13 says, and it wasn't many days later, he took out in the street. You know, when you first got from under your parents' umbrella and you begin to flap your wings. So I'm not talking about the super saved saints. As a matter of fact, you need to take that halo off your head and tell the truth to these young people. Baby, I ain't always told of the Bible. I ain't always praised God. There were times when I had to let my hair down. I don't have no hair now because I let it down too much. So he got out and he took all that he had. He didn't save nothing for a rainy day. He said, I'm going to get from under my father's government and from under my father's discipline, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to do this thing on my own. Children, let me tell you, it's dangerous to get in a hurry to leave home, especially when you're not prepared. I'm tired of mama and daddy and big mama setting these rules. I'm going to leave. I'm going to get on my own. Get your little apartment and you're happy. You're happy you don't know what to do. But Brother West, the bills start coming. And with those bills, cutoff notices, eviction notices, repossession, because then here you come calling. He leaves home. Listen to me, children. He leaves home with a bad attitude. He leaves home arrogantly, as to think, I'm never going to have to come back. Don't burn no bridges. When you get ready to get out of high school and you go into the workforce, college, or the military, be careful how you leave home. Because you never know when life brings a change. You might have to come back home again. My brothers and sisters, watch this, watch this. He took his money and he went and he bought. Bible says in verse 13 that he wasted his substance with riotous living. And then watch this. He went into a far country, way away from home, and wasted his substance with riotous living. He was having a good time. And if we be honest, when we were out there, we had a good time. When we sinned good. Come on, saints. Let's tell these children the truth today. When we were out there, we sinned good. Have you ever been upset with God because your sin play didn't work out? You had set plans, but then God intervened and you got upset because you wanted to sin good. This young man, he spent his money with riotous living. In verse 30 of this chapter, you discovered he spent it on harlots, prostitutes. He balled. He had a good time. But his money started getting funny. And his change started getting strange. During during this time, now hear me good, young people, listen at me. During this time, he found associates, but not friends. They were with him as long as he had the money. Long as you buying the drinks, I'll hang with you. You buy the weed, I'll smoke it with you. They're your ace boon coons. They're here, they're there, but when your money starts running low, you can't find a friend nowhere. You got people even know the day and month you get paid. You don't hear from them until a day before payday. I wish I had somebody to testify. And believe it or not, our children are so weak, they're falling into this false friendship, and they're trying to become a person they don't want to be just to be a friend. Young people, let me holler at you. If they don't accept you for who you are, walk away. Young ladies, he say he love you, and he want to get a motel. So, oh, you better put a ring on it. Don't y'all trip with me up in here, up in here, up in here, like you don't know what I'm talking about. There are some users in this world. He spent all he had. And watch how God, Reverend Dearborn, watch how God worked this thing. God did not allow a famine until all his money was gone. God waited till he spent the last dime. And the Bible declares that when he wasted everything, when he had spent all, in verse 14, a mighty famine came. And when the famine showed up, not only did he have no money, but his associates disappeared. And he began to be in want. You got to be very careful who you call your friend. Because a real friend is not going to always side with you. They going to tell you, man, you know I love you, but you was wrong. Man, you was wrong on that issue. You shouldn't do that. You were wrong. But a false friend will tell you anything you want to hear. And so here he's all by himself, famine in the land. He begins to be in want. And now we've seen the home and the hurry of the son. But then thirdly, here's the humiliation of the son. He's all alone. He's hungry. He has nothing to call his own. Not even a roof over his head. Where is all his friends now? Young boys, let me holler at you. Don't you dare let somebody talk you into committing a crime. And then you get busted. You doing the time. And none of them Negroes gonna come see about you. See, they didn't want me to do no crime with them. Because when the cop arrests me, I'm telling on everybody. They were like, oh, no, don't take Rod. He told me. That's right. I ain't going to jail for no. If I go, you all are going with me. Oh, yeah, I'm a snitch. I ain't doing no time for no brother. No, we going together. So if you got something dirty you want to do, I ain't the one to call. Because, baby, when the cops show up, I'm telling on every. I'm giving names, addresses, emails, everything you got. I'm giving it to them. Did So don't, I can hear your number, man. We better not call Reb. He ain't gonna do right. Yeah, I'm gonna do right. We all going to jail. Watch this, watch this. Look at the humiliation. Look at the humiliation he endured. He was lonely. He was abandoned. His ace Boone Coons had backed out on him. And he, the Bible says that he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country. Joined himself, to explain that to you, is when you stop at a light and a brother comes up and just start washing your windshield. He's doing it because he wants something in return. The man didn't hire him. He just walked into man's field and said, look, man, I do this. I just want to work. I just want to work. I want to work because I'm hungry. I want to work. Y'all just missing. I want to work. I'm starving. But you were just left a good home when your daddy was taking care of you. Now you wishing you had what your daddy had. But watch this. The man said, okay, since you're going to work for me, look at this. Watch the humiliation of the son, young people. He says, I'm not going to let you go feed my sheep. I'm going to let you go feed the pigs. And when he got into the pig pen, he was looking like the pigs. He smelled like the pigs. And he hadn't eaten in so long that what the pigs was eating, he had a desire to eat it. Young people, again, let me holler at you. Be careful what you say you won't eat. Get hungry enough, you'll eat anything. And parents, we need to quit being, I said we, me included, we need to quit being so weak. I don't eat that. Can you take me to Burger King? You see, when I came up, I didn't have a choice. Whatever mama cooked, I had two choices, to eat or go to bed hungry. And mama slept. One day I told her, I don't eat black-eyed peas. And I went to open up the refrigerator. She said, what you doing? I'm going to give me some. No, not in this house, you ain't getting nothing else to eat. Close the refrigerator, eat what I prepared, or go. I said, Mom, I'm just not going. She said, go to bed. As I laid there, JF, my stomach started talking to me. My stomach was saying, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to get me some of them peas. And I've been eating black-eyed peas ever since. As a matter of fact, I'll slap you to stand between me and my black-eyed pea. Look at his humiliation. He was desiring to eat what the pigs were eating. But then here is the turning point of life. He came to himself. He said, wait a minute. I don't have to be here. I got a daddy that cares about me. I got a daddy that will supply for me. I got a daddy that will clothe me and put food in my stomach. Why am I here? He came to himself. Have y'all ever did that in life? Backslided from God, and you ended up in a ditch, and you said, why am I here when I've got a father who cares for me? He said, not only does he care for me, not only does he care for me, he's got bread enough to spare to give me, that even the servants in the house is eating better than I am. He said, I don't have to be here. Young people, let me holler. Wherever you are, you don't have to stay there. There's always a better way. So watch this, watch this. We see the home, we see the hurry, we see the humiliation, but watch the humbleness of the son. He said, I got to go back home, young people. I got to go back to my daddy. He said, but I left wrong. He said, while I'm coming to myself, I got to be